Please rise. And Jesus said, O woman, you have great faith. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it's an American tradition that on New Year's Day we watch the Tournament of Roses parade. I know you're all thinking about it right now, but let me tell you something that amazing that happened in 1940. Now, it wasn't on television in 1940. You had to be there to see this, but a beautiful float all of a sudden stopped dead in its track right in the middle of the avenue. And of course, the parade ground it to a halt. Now, that doesn't really sound funny unless you know that the float was sponsored by and represented the Standard Oil Company. We know today as Chevron. With all of its vast resources, the driver of the truck pulling the float, yes, they had trucks pulling floats in 1940. I wasn't there, but I know that it's true because I've seen pictures. Anyway, the driver of the truck forgot to put Standard Oil gasoline in the tank, and he ran out of gas, much to the chagrin and the embarrassment of Standard Oil. That's what makes it funny. Standard Oil, no gas, the float stops, the parade stops. Now, at some point in our lives, maybe you've been there. You've been blessed with a place in God's parade. He's decorated you with fragrant flowers, righteousness and holiness. You've been won by Christ, and you're beautiful. He has freely given you faith and spiritual fuel through the gift of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to keep us moving along in His beautiful parade. Yet too often, all too often, it seems like you and I run out of gas. Thus, today in the Holy Gospel, we hear a Canaanite woman, a pagan, a non-Jew, a heathen, who should not have spiritual fuel at all, come seeking after Jesus. But in reality, dear ones, she's in the parade because God has sought her out and found her. And Jesus has done this for a very specific reason. He wants to show His disciples then and His disciples today an example of great faith. And He uses a woman who isn't supposed to have faith, and she passes the test of faith with extraordinary faith. So this morning, Jesus proclaims to all of us, and He teaches us how to cope, how never to run out of gas when He tests our faith. Instead of running out of gas, you and I are to be people, Christians with extraordinary faith. Now, in context, it's important for us to know that in this chapter, Jesus has just confronted the Pharisees. He's proven to them what is clean and unclean. It's not what you put into your mouth that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of your mouth that makes you unclean. The Pharisees, of course, disagree with Jesus. So Jesus retires again, far to the north, this time to a Gentile area known as Tyre and Sidon, but the Greeks call it Syrophoenicia, which is now modern-day Lebanon. Jesus and His disciples are apparently traveling along the border area when suddenly, as Matthew tells us, behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. That in and of itself is a statement of faith. This is something that the woman should not have known, but she did, and it's a great wonder. Somehow she knew and believed that Jesus is the Lord and that He is the Son of David. By the way, when you hear the term Son of David, that is an Old Testament promise of the Messiah. This woman is proclaiming, Jesus, You're the Lord and You're the Messiah. She knew that Jesus is the Messiah. Somehow she trusted that Jesus would have compassion and mercy upon her and her demon-possessed daughter. How? How could this happen? How did this pagan, heathen woman acquire this amazing faith? Faith just doesn't pop out of thin air, yet it takes root into one's heart. We know from God's Word that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This woman has just said that Jesus is the Lord. She believed that Jesus is the Messiah. Therefore, the Holy Spirit has worked faith in this woman's heart. She hasn't done this. The Holy Spirit has done it. But she's not baptized, you may say. She's never been instructed, you may proclaim. That is true. But remember from last week's epistle lesson from the book of Romans, what do we hear? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. We are not told how this woman acquired this faith, but it's obvious that she does have faith in Jesus as her Messiah. She has heard the promise. She has heard what Jesus has been doing. And finally, she could have peace for her daughter. This heartbroken mother, with this miracle of faith residing in her, seeks out the one who she knows will heal her poor little daughter of this demon possession. Peter writes for us in his first letter, "These trials have come upon us so that your faith of greater value than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, may prove genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." The Canaanite woman had a precious faith like gold. Yet, what is Jesus going to do? He's going to refine her even more by sticking her into the divine fires of testing so that her faith will be even more pure, even more valuable than gold itself, even brighter than the sun itself. So Jesus tests this woman just dear one, as He tests your faith. And He does it in three divine ways. We've already heard that this woman comes to Jesus calling out after Him. And she's calling Him Lord and Son of David. But what does Jesus do? Jesus did not answer her a word. The Lord ignored this woman. She's calling out to Him, and Jesus just keeps walking. Doesn't say a word. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like being dismissed like that. I didn't allow my sons to do it. I'm sure you don't allow your children to do it. Yet Jesus has heard this woman's plea for mercy, and He ignores her. Did she give up? Would a hurting, loving mother give up on her daughter? She did not give up. And His disciples had to come to Jesus to tell Him, "Lord, dismiss her because she's harassing us." In the Greek, that's exactly what they said. "Lord, dismiss her. She's harassing us." That should sound familiar. Jesus was told by His disciples to dismiss the 5,000. Now they tell Him to dismiss a heathen woman. But Jesus has a plan. And the plan is the silence test. It's the same test that Jesus uses on you and me. I know He's used it on me. We cry out to the Lord for help, and it seems that the reply is deafening silence. No reply. Oh Lord, help me. No reply. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. No reply. We all take our problems, our issues, our hurts to the Lord. Nothing. Only silence. And a weak faith will react by saying this: "Where are you, God? I thought you loved me." Or, "Obviously, God, you don't care about me because you're not listening. Therefore, you don't care. So I'm going to find someone else who will listen to me." When our answers are fleeting from us, from the Lord, do we hang up on God? Or do we hang on to Him even tighter? This is the example of the Canaanite woman. She did not give up. She kept calling out after them, trailing behind them, calling out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Help me." Do we pass the silence test? The same way that the Holy Spirit brings us to faith should be what gives us strength to pass this test. And we know what the test is, and we know what the answer is. It's His Word. When God makes a promise, we know that He will fulfill His promise. What did He say? "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." He doesn't say, "I might deliver you." He says, "I will deliver you." And He has, right here. But He doesn't promise to help you like this, at the snap of the fingers. And He doesn't promise to help you when you decide yet you need help. God will decide in His blessed divine way. The silence test is to provoke us to hold on, to cling to Jesus, and to never let go, to continually cry out, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Oh Lord, Son of David, help me." And that call never, ever stops. The woman did not give up. And dear one, neither should you ever give up. Next is a selectivity test. Here Jesus uses theology. And the woman hears the truth, and she believes the truth. Jesus answered her and says, "I was sent only to the sheep of the lost house of Israel." Point blank, Jesus tells her that He came only for the Jew. And Jesus is not lying. He was sent by God directly to the Jewish people to proclaim to them the blessed gospel. He spent His entire ministry, dear ones, within 100 miles of Jerusalem, since the Jews were like sheep without a shepherd. Clearly, this woman is not an Israelite. This test of faith, this selectivity test, is a test to prove to her that she isn't to hear the gospel yet. But she came and knelt before Him, and she cried out, "Lord, help me." Literally, she threw herself at Jesus' feet, taking hold of His right ankle, and she pleaded, "Lord, help me." How many of us are willing to do that? To fall in the dust before Jesus, to cling on to Him, to grab His right ankle, to kiss His foot, and cry out, "Lord, help me." That's an eloquent prayer, by the way. "Lord, help me." What do you think of His test? The selectivity test. Well, Christians nowadays are kind of appalled at this, that Jesus would do this. But we have to keep everything in context. Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember what God said, though. God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. But Paul writes, God our Savior wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And again, Paul writes to the Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation. For everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Our Lord's ministry is first for the Jew, and then His work upon the cross. After His work upon the cross, Jesus then establishes His church. Jesus was sent to proclaim the gospel to the Jewish people. Then Jesus establishes the church. Remember, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's the church. And the disciples and Paul, their responsibility was take the gospel to you and to me. And our responsibility is take the gospel to our neighbor, to our friend, to even members of our own family. So Jesus is telling the truth. And the woman agrees with Him. Yes, Lord, yes. The word yes in the Greek actually means truth. You have spoken the truth. Jesus always speaks the truth. And there's the final test, the truth test. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. That's hard. That is a hard truth. Some say Jesus is calling her a dog. He is not calling her a dog. Yet did He? Jesus is telling the woman that His ministry, that His bread is for the house of Israel. And it's intended for the children of Israel. In the Greek, Jesus is telling her that that if He gives her the gospel in all of its full glory, that would be not excellent or prudent. That would be outside of His mission statement. Jesus is telling her a theological truth. And He applies the truth test to her. And she agrees, yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Truth, Lord, You are right. This pagan woman is showing an extraordinary faith that even His disciples did not have. She is answering a theological truth with a theological truth. Now, essentially, she is saying, Lord, I will be satisfied even with the little leftover crumbs, since Your crumbs are morsels of life. So why is it, dear ones, why is it that Christians suffer even the worse? Believe it or not, it's because God loves us like a father. When health and wealth disappear, when happiness seems to blow away with the wind, when we have to deal with the death of a loved one or a friend, when all the worldly blessings of this life seem to be gone in a flash, what must we do as a Christian? We must be like this woman. Yes, Lord, help me. We must fall to our face, cling to Him, and proclaim, Lord, help me. Dear ones, what we hear in the gospel lesson this morning is an extraordinary faith from a very ordinary woman, a pagan, who wasn't supposed to say even anything like this. But we see the power of the Holy Spirit. He has worked in her heart. He has shown her the truth, and the truth was standing before her. And when she believed, Jesus told her, O woman, you have great faith. Let it be as you so desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. That's what Jesus does. So, dear one, when you're hearing silence, when you hear the selectivity test, when you hear the truth test, cling to Jesus. All that you do, cling to Jesus. Never give up. Never walk away. Hold on to Him. Continue hearing the Word. And as with this woman, you will hear, O dear Christian, great is your faith. So finally, O Lord, give us such an extraordinary faith. And you know He has. He has given us an extraordinary faith. That's why in faith you do cling to your Lord. That's why you do come to His altar to receive from Him. That's why you are here to hear His word and to hear His blessed promise that, dear one, all your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. Oh, great is your faith. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.